What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bases loaded in the 10th. The 1-2. He struck him out swinging. 100 mile an hour fastball to finish off the game. And Randy Rodriguez and the Giants beat the Mets here in New York 4-3.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Dave Fleming on the call there. Randy Rodriguez blowing 100 mile an hour fastball by Ronnie Mauricio. And again, we talked about how last night there's a lot of retribution for the Giants in that win over the Mets. Again, Giants 4-3 winners in 10 innings over the New York Metropolitans at Citi Field in Queens. Ronnie Mauricio was an absolute terror against the Giants last weekend when they were here in San Francisco. So seeing Randy Rodriguez being able to get that final out against him, he had that 4-for-4 night on Sunday night, 9 total bases, couple doubles there, including the home run as well. Just, and again, a guy who I've never heard of. Absolutely making the Giants' lives miserable last weekend. So it was nice to see a little bit of revenge there in that sense. But before the break, we were kind of talking about how did it get to this point, Evan? Because there was a time on June 13th of 2025, not 6 weeks ago, this team strolled into L.A. facing Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and it was Logan Webb on the hill. Casey Schmidt had that big grand slam, swaggered out of the batter's box. Giants got the win, and they are 12 games above 500 and tied with the big bad Dodgers for first in the NL West. And the entire world seemed possible for the Giants in that moment. The expectations were sky high, and then just, you know, less than 48 hours later, Giants go out and add Rafael Devers to a lineup that was just cranking out wins, that was having great situational at-bats. And ever since then, I think they are 14-25, I believe, now after last night's win. Since that trade, the worst in baseball. So the obvious answer is clearly, yeah, Rafi Devers is a team killer. That's the only answer that you could definitely come up with.
That's what the Red Sox would tell you.
Exactly. And yeah, it's a lot of people out in Boston are probably enjoying some Giant schadenfreude, so to speak, enjoying the misery that we are enduring, that they used to endure, I guess, so to speak, with Rafi Devers. But call me crazy here, Evan. I don't blame Rafi Devers for the Giants' struggles over the last 6 weeks. It is, I think, a little bit more nuanced than just that.
I mean, I think it's nuanced, but you do have to blame him. I mean,
he's part of the problem.
He's part
sure.
of the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't explain why he has a K rate of 33%. Like, I can't explain why it's jumped 10% since he's got here, but the stats are the stat. Like, this, even last night, I mentioned earlier, he did turn around a Helsley fastball, which was impressive. He also struck out four times. Mm-hmm. And a couple of those spots, you'd like for him to at least be able to put the ball in play. So, yeah, like, Devers is not the singular reason why this team has slumped and cratered to the extent of becoming sellers at the deadline. But he's absolutely part of the problem.
I would say he's definitely become maybe the face of it, but when it comes to the
reason... He's a $300 million player.
He's the face of the franchise, basically, right now.
He's a $300 million player. Like, I'm sorry, you got to hit, dude.
Yeah.
That's your one job. Like, your job is to hit the baseball. And he's been swinging and missing quite a bit.
I look at it like this. Like, he's still the guy when he comes up to bat. I do try to stop what I'm doing and watch a little bit more closely because, you know, there was once a time when that was how Giants fans were for one Barry Bonds. When Barry's coming up, it's, well, let me stop doing whatever I'm doing. Let me stop doing my dishes. Let me stop my gardening or whatever it is activities you do when you watch baseball. And I'm going to lock in here because I think Barry might do something. That is still Rafi Devers for me because that potential, I'm not saying that Rafi Devers is Barry Bonds, first off. I want to make that abundantly clear. But when it comes to this lineup, he is the guy who, if there's going to be a very fun, entertaining at-bat, he is the guy. Contrast that to, I'm curious how many Giants fans feel the same way as well as I do. Even though he's the at-bat you're going to pay attention to, when he steps into the batter's box, what's the feeling that goes through your head? And by that, I mean, like, once upon a time, when Buster Posey would step into the batter's box, you had this feeling like, all right, something good's going to happen here. And if it didn't, well, that's baseball. And if it did, you're like, that's Buster Posey for you. There's a time when, you know, Pablo Sandoval would step into the batter's box with, you know, runners on second and third. And you'd feel like, all right, I feel very good that something good is about to happen here. And if it did, you're excited. And if it didn't, well, that's baseball. What is the feeling, I wonder, for Giants fans when Rafi Devers steps to the plate? I don't think it's, oh boy, something good might happen here. I think it's, oh man, I really hope something bad doesn't happen here. And that's not the feeling you want to have with your premier bat, to where when he steps in the batter's box, you don't have that confident feeling that he's going to come through and produce in the way that your big bat in the lineup should.
Well, it's kind of funny you say that. So I went to a couple of the games throughout the last homestand, one of which was on Tuesday night. I think it was the game they got two hit by the Pirates. Mm-hmm. Close loss. But anyways, I was sitting in the upper deck with a few friends, and, you know, some of them are big baseball fans. Some of them don't really watch the Giants. Most of them hadn't been to many games this year. And so
a good mix there of opinions.
Yeah, so there's a lot of questions. People are having fun. You know, just I'd say it's a good mix of, like, casual, you know, fans, which is, I think most baseball fans are. They tune in for a game. Maybe they don't watch every day. And they're wondering what's going on with this team. So one of my friends, she says, all right, who's the guy I should watch in this team? And I say, well, like, the first baseman is their highest paid player. He's supposed to be their best player. So he comes to the plate, and, you know, he's got a big wide open stance. He's very, very striking, you know, big swings. And then at the end of the at bat, I think he struck out. She says, well, that wasn't that impressive. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way things have been for the last 6 weeks. He's a big presence with a massive swing. And it just feels like the expectation is what she said, nothing impressive. And even when he's had a couple of moments, maybe it's because it happened in Atlanta, but really outside of 2 days, Rafi Devers he hasn't shown us much. You know, and that's why over the last couple of months, one of my biggest asks or I think goals for the Giants, it's not just about Devers, but can they get Chapman, Adames, and Devers to hit and play and perform well at the same time? It's a little bit like what Bobby Evans told us yesterday on the roast. It's, you got to get these guys going at the same time. They're your best players. And I know that Chapman isn't going to hit, you know, for a 900 OPS. Devers, can we get him in the 800, 850 range? Adames has been doing that for a month. Can he do it for another couple months? Maybe not to the level that he's performed because he's been awesome. He's hitting like 300 since they acquired Devers. But can he continue to look like the guy closer to last year as he's been in July than the guy he was for the first 3 months of this season, which was absolutely abominable? So can they get all three of those dudes to perform closer to their career marks. If they can, then I'm going to be feeling a lot better about this offense.
And they briefly were for a moment on this first road trip coming out of the All-Star break through Toronto and Atlanta. All three of those guys actually hit really well on that trip. Now, granted, I think most of that, especially in regards to Matt Chapman, came in the Atlanta portion of the series, which Atlanta's pitching is not quite as good as Toronto's pitching, and that's a very generous way of saying it. But, Evan, you kind of mentioned how your friend the other night, you know, not impressed with Rafi in a important situation.
It's pretty hard to be right now.
Yeah, there was another, you know, I had a moment, I took my friend Allie to the game on Sunday night, and I was kind of telling her, you know, that's first base, that's the guy. They're working him there at that new position, and he's going to be the face, though, going forward. And that Saturday night game, that was the game where he had the ground ball to him at first, and he kind of kicked it around and kicked it over to the base before he made the play and got the runner out, a play I've never seen happen before. But she's just like, really, this is the guy? Like, I don't like this at all. Which, that these are the first impressions that Rafi's making. He had a moment on Wednesday in the eighth inning, comes up with two outs, down 2-1. And I tweeted out in the moment, like, Rafi, this is the moment I need you to come through and do something. Like, I hate being the guy that says, I need you to get a home run right here, because I think just demanding a home run from guys who aren't Aaron Judge, guys who aren't Shohei Ohtani, guys who aren't that Barry Bonds caliber of home run hitter, it's just unreasonable to make that kind of an ask. But every now and then, for a guy like Rafi Devers, just like, dude, I need you to just send one right here. Like, that's what face of the franchise sluggers do. They just step into the batter's box and say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to swing the stick here and make something incredible happen. He ended up flying out. But that's just one of those things where it's just, those are the feelings I want to have when Rafi Devers steps to the plate. When he steps in, it's not, I need to stop what I'm doing and see what happens. It's, I need to stop what I'm doing and see what happens because I'm convinced that something special is going to happen. That's the point that I want to see us get to with Rafi Devers. And the truth is the feeling is just not there with this fan base in Rafi Devers yet.
What's been the lasting image of him at home? Like, what's Devers' moment? I would argue that the lasting image of him right now is what you just described, him walking the dog to first base. Like,
that's a great way to describe it.
I mean, seriously, he has not had a moment at home in front of the home crowd. He golfed the ball off his shoe tops in a 2-strike count in Atlanta. You know, he hit a late home run against the Braves. At Oracle Park, he hasn't done much. Maybe his first hit, which was a ringing double to right center field.
That can't be your moment, though. But that's,
well, but that's the point.
To your point, exactly. Like, the fact that that's what you have to turn to. Evan, he had his chance for the moment. It was that Sunday game against the Dodgers. He had a chance in an extra innings to walk it off and send everybody into the All-Star break happy. And he hit a missile, 106 off the bat, that unfortunately fell in, I think it was Outman was the center fielder at the time, fell into his glove. And then the Giant Dodgers come back in the 11th inning and hit a bunch of little squibbers off Spencer Bivens to win the game. But that was the moment. I'm sitting there in the press box thinking, if you're ever going to introduce yourself to this fan base, this Giants fan base, in a way that will immortalize you forever, that would have been it. Because, Evan, I still see, we saw the highlight this week. In 2018, just 6 games or something into Andrew McCutchen's tenure as a San Francisco Giant, he hit a walk-off home run in the 15th inning against the Dodgers that sent everybody home happy. And even though Andrew McCutchen was only a Giant for 4 months, that home run right there, and the fact that Andrew McCutchen's a very likable player, but it in a sense, immortalized him in Giants history. We're always going to remember that home run because it was against the Dodgers. Giants fans are always going to have a positive feeling of Andrew McCutchen because of just that one singular moment. Doing it against the Dodgers is, there's so much stock that you can raise in that situation. And it was so heartbreaking that Rafi didn't come through there. Like, that loss sucked. That was probably the crappiest loss of the year for me as a fan, just walking out of the ballpark that day, just immediately dejected. I had the next week off from work, which is great because I needed to recover from that Sunday afternoon. But what really made it suck, though, is because it felt like if there was ever an opportunity for all the consternation that we as Giants fans had surrounding Rafi Devers, it could have been just expelled right there. Instead, it just keeps compounding and building with an even worse moment right there. And yeah, it just, it would have been so great for him to have his moment right there. But alas, here we are, still waiting for Rafi to have that moment. Now, I'm getting long-winded here, but again, we're talking about what happened over these last 6 months, Giants fans. What caused this team to go from 12 games above 500 to sellers at the deadline? Bobby Evans pinned it on the runners in scoring position. Buster Posey doesn't really have an answer. A lot of people don't really have an answer. Tim Kirchen joined Willard and Dibbs the other day. He didn't really have any answers.
My answer is I don't know. This is why baseball is the greatest game ever. The Giants make the biggest move maybe of the entire trade deadline, and they did it months ago. And it was supposed to be what we all thought, the perfect guy for this lineup, the guy who was going to take the Giants to the playoffs. They were going to all rally around him and be a demonstrably better offensive team, and none of that happened. This is why baseball is the best, is we slap our forehead all the time and say, why? How can this happen? And the answer is, I don't know how this happened. So I'm with you guys. I'm as confused as everyone else that the Giants hit such a skid after adding a guy who's already on a path to go to the Hall of Fame. They should have gotten way better, and instead they got worse.
So again, Tim Kirchen, who's been in this game for a couple hundred years, he doesn't have an idea of what's going on. I kind of disagree with him on the whole baseball is the best thing. Baseball's not the best because we slap our heads and don't know what's going on. Baseball's the best for a lot of other reasons. That's not one of my favorite reasons, though. But yeah,
it works both ways.
It
works both ways. Baseball's beautiful because while it hasn't gone that way for the Giants, a team like the Detroit Tigers last year can sell everything worth selling, look like they're giving up and waving the white flag on the season, and then they go on a run and, oh, by the way, win a playoff series. And who knows why that happened? Because they caught fire and they made a run, and now they've built on that, and they look like one of the best teams in baseball. So I hear what you're saying, and in the way that it hasn't worked for the Giants,
exactly,
it does work in the opposite direction, too.
Well, and that's, I guess, the beauty of baseball is, yes, those downtimes do suck, but while you're having downtimes, someone else is having uptimes. It all evens out in the end. Sometimes the strike call doesn't go your way. Sometimes it does. You hate it when it doesn't. You love it when it does. So in this instance,
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademark used with permission.
Yeah, I'm a disagree. It's not the best because it drives us crazy. But yes, it is also fun because it drives us crazy. My theory as to how we got here, though, is it is kind of play off what Bobby Evans said, though, in terms of just the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position. He brings up a good point. It's just when one part of the lineup is getting the job done, but the other part isn't, it puts a lot of stress and pressure on that top part of the lineup. And that's where I think you have the tension start to set in with these hitters. Now, I'm sure that, again, the way the Giants were winning the first 2.5 months of the year, it was exciting, it was fun. I don't know if it was completely sustainable. And I think Buster Posey made that move for Rafi Devers knowing that at some point our hitting is going to regress. The situational hitting is going to regress. And he needed to go out and add something that would fight back against that regression or offset that regression when it started to happen. And while I don't think that Rafi Devers made this team worse, he has definitely done nothing to make this team better. And that's where you start to see the offensive slide really start to look worse. And then you start to see it and start to impact the pitching. Before the Rafi Devers trade, your starters had a combined 3.68 ERA and your relievers had a 2.16 ERA. That's because they were getting offensive support. The situational hitting was there. The Giants were executing with runners in scoring position. And so when you have that happen, it takes the pressures off the starters because they don't have to hold a 1-0 lead all game long like their Logan Webb. Since then, though, the starters' ERA has been 4.33. The relievers have had a 4.27 ERA. And so my basic theory is, Evan, is just when the hitting stopped, when the situational hitting stopped, you didn't see it from the bottom of the lineup. That put pressure on the top of the lineup. The top lineup gets tense. They stop producing. Suddenly you have a defunct lineup that starts putting more pressure on the pitching, and now the pitching is tense. They're going out thinking, we can't do anything wrong. We can't make any mistakes. And you just can't perform that way. You can't perform where you feel like one mistake sends you into the abyss. And that's why you have the pitching start to spiral, and that is why it's just it's like a domino effect. One thing leads to another where, you know, the inability to perform in situational hitting in one aspect of the lineup suddenly leads to this whole spiral effect where your team descends down to below 500 right before the trade deadline and you're selling off. That to me is the quick summation of how we got from where this team was to where this team is right now.
Yeah, but even that doesn't explain. I mean, really, to me, the homestand that they just got swept in, it comes down to the little things. That's why they won the game last night, and that's why they got swept by the Pirates and the Mets, because they haven't done the little things over the course of, I would say, the last 6 weeks. They don't run the bases very well. They don't communicate on defense often enough. They don't eliminate outs. They don't steal bases. They give up extra bases. They don't throw strikes when they need to. They put leadoff guys on. They don't make competitive pitches and big, like, they don't do the little things, or they haven't done the little things. And that's what you need to do to be a good team. And the Giants are a squad that I hate to break it to people, all year long have been in a game like last night. Mm-hmm. It's been 3-3, eighth inning, ninth inning, and you got to make a play or two or get a hit or two to win the game. And at the beginning of the year, they were doing it. And then somewhere around the time Devers got here, they stopped. Fundamentals are what have cost the Giants an opportunity to buy at the deadline, have cost them an opportunity to compete for a postseason spot. If they get back to playing fundamental baseball, I think this team can go on a run, perhaps challenge for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. But they haven't shown me enough, again, over a pretty large sample size, that that's going to correct itself. Last night was a good example of playing good fundamental baseball, but you got to do it again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to do it over the weekend. And then you got to do it when you come back. Like, that's something they have still yet to prove if they can do over a long period of time, which is play sound fundamental baseball. And that's a must at this level. Like, you cannot be giving away extra outs. You cannot be making stupid mistakes on the base pass. Something that a lot of fans looking at them are saying it's embarrassing. And it's also just completely confounding because these are big leaguers and they're not playing like it. So, yeah, I mean, you're not always going to get a hit with a guy in scoring position. You're going to give up home runs. Your bullpen's going to blow leads.
That's baseball.
But can you not shoot yourself in the freaking foot day after day after day?
Yeah. And this is where I think I totally agree with what you're saying there. And I do think this is where the mental aspect comes in, because it just, it feels like this team, especially, you've seen it progress more and more and more. This team feels just, I don't know if shot mentally is the right word phrase, but there's a rattled element, I think, about this team where I think mentally they're so wrapped up in their own heads right now that that's what kind of triggers a lot of these mental and fundamental errors in the field. And I do think that does start from, you know, one thing starts to go wrong, then another. You've seen it. This is a football movie. You've seen that the movie The Replacements, right, with Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman, you know, when Keanu Reeves comes out of retirement and they do the whole scab football thing. Haven't you seen that movie?
The scab?
Yeah, The Replacements.
Oh, with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a scene in that movie where, you know, Coach Gene Hackman has all the players in the room. He's like, you know, what are you afraid of the most? And Keanu Reeves, Shane Falco, he says quicksand. Where you get caught in quicksand, the more you struggle, the more you sink. You know, the more you struggle, the more you sink, the worse it gets. That's what it's felt like the Giants for the last 6 weeks. They're in quicksand, and the more they try to fight back against it, the more they start to sink in. The more they try too hard to execute on the base paths, the more they screw up. Mark Willard brought this up earlier this week, and, you know, after Saturday night's game, Jung-Hoo Lee had a moment where bases were loaded and he drops a bunt in the fifth inning, which, interesting move. They asked him, why did you do that? And he said through his interpreter, Justin Hahn, a ground ball there is a double play, and that ends the inning. They're more focused on what they don't want to have happen than what they do want to have happen. The other day, Wednesday, Ryan Walker, come back to the mound, he ends up having a brain fart, turns around, makes the double play, because they're so wrapped up mentally in terms of what they should do and what they don't need to do, that they're just not focused on what plays they do actually need to be making. So I do think there is a mental component there to where this team's just fighting so hard to push back at these mistakes that it's leading to more mistakes happening in their wake.
Look, what's the Yogi Berra line? Thinking never helped anybody in baseball. Like, it's
a lot of those Yogi Berra lines.
You can't think and play at the same time and expect to be at your best. You just can't. And this team has been in its head for the better part of 2 months. That's why last night, like in a way, you know, probably getting away from home was the best thing for them. Just get on the road, reset with the deadline, accept the fact that no reinforcements are coming. You have 2 months left in the season, and it's essentially a clean slate. Yeah, you might not make the playoffs, but it doesn't mean, like, this is where it is an important sort of a evaluation stage of the year. Like, you got to figure out who you can trust on this team. If guys do not want to show up and play, then they can't be a part of this club next year. If guys continue to make mental mistakes for the better part of another 2 months, you might have to think about what their future is on this club. Mm-hmm. How are guys going to help you win? Because that's still the goal going not only into the remainder of this season, but into next season. And if you don't feel like a player is a winning player, or if you don't feel like a manager or a coach is conducive to winning, well, then just like the deadline, you have to sell them. You have to strip yourselves of players that are not going to help you win. And yeah, you can't do it with everybody. There's going to be holdovers. There's going to be pieces that you can't find upgrades for, and you're going to have to figure that out. But for the most part, I think the Giants are in a stage of the year now where weight is off of making the postseason, but the expectation of competition, that has not left this group. And that's why last night, at least for one night, was kind of a silver lining. Was a good, I think, message from the team almost to themselves that, hey, like, we can play with a team like the Mets. We can beat the Mets. And probably felt like you should have beat them once, maybe even twice the last time they played them at home.
There's a lot of wins that this team has left on the table that they should have had. And last night was a sign for optimism. But as you said, you got to do it tonight. Got to do it the rest of the weekend. Got to do it the rest of the season. Basically, if they did last night every night for the rest of the year, yeah, just that. I think things will work out if that ends up being what they do. Ken, I see you there. I'm going to get you coming out of this break. And then I want to talk a little bit about how Buster Posey handled this trade deadline. This was his first trade deadline as president of baseball operations. How do we feel Buster did? He did get a pretty impressive prospect haul for Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall, and Mike Yastrzemski. Talk about that a little bit as well. Also, Bob Melvin, what is the expectation for him? Evan and I, we both agree that he is managing for his jobs to an extent the rest of the year. I want to talk about what that will look like as well. There is so much to talk about with this team. We only have an hour and a half left. We want to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. All that brought to you by Fairmont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The pitch. Yastrzemski hits it high in the air, deep to right field. Lukes is back toward the track, at the fence, looks up, it's gone! Into the Royals' bullpen! Welcome to the Royals, Mike Yastrzemski! His first at-bat in a Royals uniform puts his new team in front! It's 2-1 in the top of the second inning!
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Same old Yaz to me. That's Mike Yastrzemski on Bally Sportsnet there.
I used to broadcast with that guy.
Really? Who? I'm terrible at knowing who's who. So, yeah, why don't you indulge me on who that was?
It's Jake Eisenberg. We broadcasted in the Eastern League in 2019 in Double A. He was working for the Giants, actually. He was a broadcaster for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, and I was broadcasting for the Tigers Double A affiliate, the Erie Seawolves. Great guy, great broadcaster. So it's pretty cool that... He nailed that call for Yaz's first home run as a Royal.
It was a very good call. And yeah, very cool to see Yaz going deep there in that first at bat. I always liked Mike Yastrzemski. He was, again, not a great baseball player, but he was a solid baseball player. And he played the game the way the Giants wanted to. I had an opportunity to get him on a Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys last year. And he's very chill to talk with, very down to earth, very just self-aware as well. He talked about his grandfather a little bit. One of the two things I liked that I got out of him was I asked him, you know, those diving catches that you make, do they hurt? He's like, yeah, they hurt. They hurt. And I thought that was funny. And then the other one was I was asking, you know, what's the worst mispronunciation of your name that you've heard? And he's like, yeah, I've heard some bad ones, but nothing specific. And I was like, oh man, I was really hoping you were going to say Drew Barrymore in Fever Pitch, which that got a little chuckle out of him. So I enjoyed chatting with him, and I enjoyed his tenure as a Giant, and he is a free agent this year, so reunion not totally off the table, though I wouldn't bet on it. Tyler Rogers, who is now a New York Met, he is also a free agent after this year. If either of those two are going to have a reunion with the Giants, Tyler Rogers seems, I feel like, a little bit more likely than Yaz, only because there is a greater need for someone like Tyler Rogers on this team next year in the bullpen than there would be for someone like a Mike Yastrzemski. So great start for Mike Yastrzemski with the Kansas City Royals. Hopefully he can help the Royals go on a run and he can get some postseason baseball. But more importantly is I need to go to the lines. 888-957-9570 is the number, because we got Ken in San Francisco. He's got some thoughts on Rafi Devers that I want to hear. Ken, what do you got for us? You're on the wrap.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Saturday. What I wanted to touch on with Rafi is I think we've already kind of hit on it, is he needs his signature moment in the Giants uniform. Like, we've seen it in a Red Sox uniform and Giants in the past. It's just, it changes the perception when they go up to the plate on these signature moments. You think about like a Wade Lamont hitting the 100th splash ball. So every time he came up, I was thinking he's going to go yard into McCovey Cove, or even Yaz for that matter, going yard in friendly confines of Fenway Park. You always thought he's going to, he has a good opportunity to go yard. So I think Rafi just needs that. We're waiting for that. But I do agree, it's must watch TV when he is at the plate. Stop what you're doing and watch it. But until he has that moment, it's going to be, I just hope he doesn't strike out.
Yeah, that's a good call, Ken. Thank you very much for calling in. And so, Evan, here's my theory again. It's you don't want to be tense in baseball. And the more things don't go your way, the more tense you get. I think example I'm using is Justin Verlander. I do think that the longer and longer he had that goose egg in the win column, it starts to wear on you. It starts to eat at you. And that does affect how you play on the field. The other Yogi Berra line, 90% of the game is mental. The other half is physical. And I do think that when Verlander got that first win, he just like went, and just let so much angst and frustration out that it loosens you up a little bit. You know, it's like when you have that pent up fart with that's giving you a really bad stomach ache, and then you finally get it out.
Okay.
And then you're just like, oh man, that's so much better. Yeah, we talk about farts here on the wrap. I feel like that's kind of a similar situation with Rafi Devers, where he just needs to have that one moment, and then it's just, you know, like releasing that. I'm gonna do a sigh. I'm not gonna make a fart noise.
Yeah, just don't use that word again.
What, fart? You don't like that one?
No, I mean, we got people listening and driving around town, man. I don't think they want that visual.
Nah, there's worse. Oh, we all do it. Better out than in, as Shrek always likes to say. But
there are better ways to explain your point. That's all I'm trying to get at.
I know, but I like my way a little bit better. But that's kind of where if Rafi could just have that moment that takes the weight off his shoulders, maybe that kind of has him relax a little bit more. Because, yeah, there's so many frustrating mental things with this team right now that moments like, if anything to take this stress off this team can only be better for this team right now. That's just how mentally wrapped up this team seems right now.
Yeah, but you also thought that might have been when he moved to first base and hit two home runs. Like, you thought that would be a moment where his season would turn for the better, and it's largely stayed the same. It took Willy Adames some time, but I remember, I think it was in May, he had a two-home run game at home against the Rockies, and everybody's like, all right, Adames is here, now it's time.
Yeah.
And it took him like 2 more months to actually start hitting the baseball. So,
well, yeah, that was that road trip in Colorado after his day off, right?
Yeah. Or sorry, he was in Colorado, yeah. But,
well, that was the start of kind of what we've been seeing from him right now, though, wasn't it? I mean, he's been pretty solid ever since
He had a two-homer game. I think it might have been at home. I got to check that. But again, it was at the start of the year, and everyone's just like, when's Adames going to start hitting? Mm-hmm. And it didn't really happen. Like, just because Verlander also gets his first win doesn't mean he's going to be pitching that much differently for the remainder of the year. Like, he's,
oh no, I'm not saying
he's
going.
Yeah, he's been up. He's been down. You know, you need these guys to start doing things as a collective. And it feels like the Giants have just been missing some sort of consistency from their offense. Their pitching was really good in May, but they couldn't get their bats. They couldn't get their bats right. Now the starting pitching's beginning to break down. Even when their hitters are hitting, it's not enough. You just lost some guys from your bullpen. Can you? It's like, you know, you need the team to play as a whole. And I know in baseball it's sort of hard to think about that sometimes because it's essentially a turn-based sport. Mm-hmm. But you really do have to play as a team, and the Giants have not done enough of that.
No. Again, that Adames game you're talking about, you're right. It was at home. It was May the 4th. He went 3-for-5 against the Rockies, 2 home runs. And everyone was like, yep, this is it. This is the start of the run. And then he went, then proceeded to go 4 for his next 26 there, going into Chicago and Minnesota. So, yeah, we did have a false start already. But since then, though, or since June, you know, or mid-June, it's been pretty good for Willie Adames. Unfortunately, not good enough, though, because, again, the Giants did have to sell off here. Buster Posey speaking with the media on Thursday with Zach Manassian, talking about what this deadline is like. And he started off by just kind of talking about how difficult it was not being able to add at the deadline.
We wanted to be in a different position to add. Unfortunately, you know, the way we played, had to make a decision here to try to add some talent that we felt like could help us going forward. You know, look, I knew when I took this job that one of the harder parts was going to be at some point, you know, moving on from guys that I had a personal relationship with and I played with. Yeah, that's not an easy phone call or conversation to have in person. But overall, I think Zach and myself and the rest of the group are happy with the players that we have coming to put on a Giants uniform now.
So this Buster Posey's first trade deadline as the Giants president of baseball operations. And again, he did make 3 trades, sending out Tyler Rogers and Camilo Doval and Mike Yastrzemski, getting back a pretty impressive haul for those guys. For Rogers, you got the right-handed pitcher, Blade Tidwell. You got the left-handed outfielder, Drew Gilbert. Both those guys are in AAA right now. Both those guys are teammates at Tennessee, too, by the way. And then, of course, Jose Buto, who we saw make his debut last night. The return for Camilo Doval. You got Tristan Vreeling, the right-handed pitcher, 24 years old. Jesus Rodriguez, the catcher slash third baseman. You got Carlos De La Rosa, the 17-year-old lefty. And Parks Harbor, that's a great baseball name, by the way. Parks Harbor, who is a corner infielder, 23 years old. And then, of course, for Mike Yastrzemski, you got Junior Marte from the Royals, not to be confused with the former Giant Junior Marte, who they got from the Phillies. So hope we're all caught up on that. All this to say is, Evan, how would you say Buster did in his first deadline as president of baseball operations of the Giants?
How did he do? I mean, we'll see. Like, we don't know if any of these players are good. I do think that one of the themes that I noticed was he largely identified players that are close to big league ready, if not already big league ready. I think Tidwell has already made his major league debut.
Couple appearances, yeah. 4 appearances, I believe, at the Mets, 2 starts.
Yeah, so he's broke the seal. It looks like Gilbert's pretty close, and I think that's one of the reasons they felt fine moving off of Yaz, is because, well, you have Matos who can play in right field. Mm-hmm.
Grant McCray getting some run.
Yeah, I really am not a big Grant McCray guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't say it's going to happen, but anything's going to happen with it, but he's getting the run.
Yeah, but I think some of those at-bats are going to go to Gilbert very mm-hmm. soon in the near future. And he's somebody that look, I think those deals to me, yes, Buster Posey is going to get labeled, I don't know, whatever for them, good, bad, otherwise. But they do kind of feel like prior regime trades. You know, you sell for a couple guys who might be good. You know, you got a decent haul for Rodgers in terms of the rankings, but are those prospects going to pan out? They got a couple tools. In terms of the Camilo Doval trade, you know, I like that they identified a catcher, something they don't have a ton of in their farm system, and somebody just to come up and try and push Bailey. I mean, good Lord, like, Bailey's a player that I like behind home plate, but he profiles and has profiled, I would argue, for a very long time, really since he broke into the majors, as a backup catcher. I mean, if you can't hit, and it's been much more than a calendar year of a sample size of him not being able to hit the baseball, his career high in home runs is 8. I don't really see him as a guy that's going to hit anywhere close to 20. And no. If you're a 200 hitter, that just does not play as an everyday catcher. I don't care how good you are. So I think that this guy, Jesus Rodriguez, is somebody that he's hit his entire time through the minors. Supposed to have a good arm behind home plate. I think a career 850 OPS at the plate. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees have produced some pretty good catchers from their farm system. So I think it was good that Posey and Manasian were able to identify a guy that is coming from, you know, a system that's produced Narvaez in Boston, has produced Augustine Ramirez in Miami. And also, a lot of teams are looking at, I think it was Rafael Flores was their top catching prospect, who they sent to the Pirates to get David Bednar, who also got blown up last night. But everybody wants a piece of what the Yankees have in their system, which is catching. So I'm hoping that that player can turn into something. I think overall, if you're asking me what they did at the deadline, it's surely TBD. But I thought they got some good pieces that are going to be close to ready-made.
Yeah, you cited two of them right off the bat, and Tidwell and Drew Gilbert. And Drew Gilbert looks like he could be a very good high-energy player. He's got a great arm out there. He seems like he could be a good corner outfielder for them. Jesus Rodriguez, he has hit at every level he has been at. He has been a 300 hitter at every level. Watched, you know, some video of him on YouTube last night. Love the pop I saw from his bat as well. And yeah, there is a lot of TBD there in terms of comparing it to the moves that the prior regime made, it felt like there was a little bit more purpose in these moves. Whereas with Farhan Zaidi, it just felt like when he was moving guys, he didn't really pick a direction in his deadlines. I mean, obviously he picked a direction in 2021 when the team more or less forced him to by how they were performing. And he went out and he got Chris Bryant for, what was it, Caleb Killian and Alexander Canario, two guys who Giants fans don't miss at all. 2022, they did absolutely nothing. 2023, they added A.J. Pollock as a depth piece. Last year, they bring in Mark Canna, a good vibes guy. But that was more, again, just they needed another outfielder. They didn't pick a direction. This deadline was kind of similar to me to what the Giants did in 2019 when they moved Sam Dyson and Mark Melanson and brought back, among others, Prelander Baroa, Jalen Davis, and hey, how about this? Kai-Wei Tang, who is going to be your starter tonight for the Giants against the Mets. So you're seeing a little bit of production there. Mark Melanson was also moved at that deadline, brought in Tristan Beck, who is still producing for the Giants right now out of the bullpen. But yeah, what that deadline did, though, is it did. That was kind of similar to this one. They also moved Derek Holland that year as well. Is it did kind of, it took away a chunk of the bullpen, and it caused the team to kind of struggle down the stretch because you didn't have your reliable bullpen arms. And I like that that didn't really stop Buster from still making moves that he felt he had to make. And that's where, again, Buster said it a couple times. He wished they weren't in this situation. And I feel like this deadline was a great growing experience for Buster Posey, because he's always used to winning. You know, Shasky said it yesterday when you and him were hosting on the Morning Roast, and I love the point that he was making, where his entire career, for the most part, he has had success, and this is very different for him. And when you're a player, there's a level of control you have on the field. You know, you can control what you can do. You can control, you know, how you swing the bat. If you're struggling, you can control how you adjust. You can control how you get in shape. And I got to imagine this got to be difficult for Buster, because when you're the executive watching these games, not playing them, there's so less control you have compared to when you were a player. And I imagine it's got to be very difficult for Buster to sit back, and he's making these moves. He has some semblance of control there, but he can only make the moves. After that, once the games start, it's kind of out of his control, really. And I got to imagine it must have been really hard for him to kind of grapple with that lack of control and kind of come to this come to Jesus moment, realize, try as I might have done to make this team good, I have to take this step back and kind of bite a bullet, so to speak, and make these difficult moves to try and make this team better. It's been an interesting learning first year experience for Buster Posey, and I do think a lot of this is going to make him better at his job going forward, but I imagine it's still a tough week for him to have to go through that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how big of a step back they took, though. I mean, they traded Doval, which is a player I think they had determined before the deadline they wanted to get off of. I think that's why it came down to the wire. I think that's why the haul we saw was, at least compared to the other closers that were dealt at the deadline, you know, kind of a lighter haul. And you got off of Tyler Rogers, who you were going to lose anyways, and your bullpen is in a good place, and Yaz is, you know, yeah, he's played a lot for you this year, but he's someone you can stand to be without. Like, I don't think the team got that much worse at the deadline. So,
well, the reason I say worse is because you saw a little bit of it last night, and that you do have to reconfigure your bullpen. And if the Giants almost blew it in the eighth inning last night. And if that had been the case, it would have been, this is where you got worse, because you would have had Tyler Rogers in that situation, and you probably have a much better.
Well, Tyler Rogers got blown up the other night against the Pirates. I mean,
it happens a lot. You always felt really good about Tyler Rogers in the eighth inning. Now you got to find someone else who will make you feel good in the eighth inning. Until that happens, the eighth inning is going to be a bit of a question mark. Now, maybe it is Jose Buto. Maybe he comes in and just runs with that eighth inning role. He has a career 1.74 ERA in 20 innings pitched in the eighth inning going into last night. So he has experience in that inning. Maybe it is Joey Lucchese. He's never really been a late inning guy. He's never really been a late high leverage guy. But if he can adjust and adapt and become that guy, that's great. Until it happens, though, the eighth inning is a question mark. How much of a question mark? We will see. That, in that sense, that's where the step back comes from, is that if you do find there could be slip ups in the bullpen as you kind of reconfigure what these roles are going to look like, at least until, you know, you get Eric Miller back, in which case that'll help you a little bit more in those late innings as well.
But it's kind of been a feel thing the whole season. You just had more arms, I guess, that you trusted. Like the Giants setup guy varied depending on what the situation was. You know, Rogers would get most of those looks, but we've seen Rodriguez pitch in the eighth. We've seen Miller get certain spots. Ryan Walker at the beginning of the year was supposed to be one of your setup guys after he got his closing duties relieved. Like they've played it by ear for a lot of the season. It's just now that when Lucchese comes in, or excuse me, whoever else you have coming out of the bullpen, you just feel a little more uneasy about him. So excuse me. I think that, yeah, like they dealt from a position of strength, but I feel like if there's anything that the Giants, whether it's between Farhan and now with Posey, but in general, you can find relievers. Like, you can build. Maybe Hayden Birdsong comes back up and goes back into the bullpen where he was really good.
That's a good option, yeah.
Earlier on this season when he had that scoreless inning streak rolling. So, like, you can build relievers, I think, far easier than you can obviously find position players or starters.
Yeah, I agree with that. And this is one thing that the Giants organization has shown over the last 4 years, even under Farhan Zaidi. The one thing that Farhan and his crew were good at was finding relievers. And you still have some holdovers from that prior regime. Buster was obviously in the building. Minajian was with this team. If there is one thing that I know they'll be good with, it is finding relievers. Even after 2019, this team was still able to rebuild this bullpen, and they've had one of the better bullpens for most of this decade. So until that time comes, though, yeah, there are some pins and needles that we will be sitting on. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can call us or you can text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Big shout out to those who are watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. We got one of our top-notch rappers on right now, so let's go to the lines. Richie in Queens, where are the Giants going, Richie? How'd you feel about this Giants trade deadline? How you feel about Buster? Just give me all your Giants thoughts, Richie. The floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I was at the game last night. You know, I bought the tickets. We went to the right behind home plate and $300 for them a month and a half ago, thinking that I'm going to watch them in a playoff race.
Atta boy.
Obviously, a little disappointing, but you know, the bottom line too is, like, I know there's six out, and you know, I mean, we've got 2 months to go. I've seen stranger things. Where do I think they're going? Obviously, you know, you mentioned Birdsong. I think Birdsong's got to get back into the rotation eventually. I really do. I think they're going to have to see what he is. I got to see what Matos is. I think the guy that took the biggest breath last night, deepest breath, was Devers. I said, is he going to strike out five times? You know, guys, I'm watching him, and I know he's been a tremendous disappointment, and I could see the frustration, but I just don't know how to, for this kind of work, to have 70 at-bats or whatever it is and just being beat by 93-mile-an-hour fastballs. I say, okay, he's our future, obviously Adames and Chapman. We've got to get some contact hitters. I mean, Lee has not really proven that. So he's got a lot of work to do. Obviously losing. Did you see what Duvall they did last night with the Yankees?
Against the Marlins, yeah.
You know, they talk about records that will never be broken, 190 RBIs, 511 wins. I don't think that what happened to the Yankees will ever be broken, that three top relievers came up the day before and also a defensive replacement who let the ball go under his glove, and those three relievers gave up 9 earned runs. That is a record, guys, that I don't think will ever be broken.
That's absolutely insane.
But, you know, but, yes, getting back to, I think Posey, I think they are, look, I'm watching them for 65 years. My feeling, and I can always say, is this the biggest disappointment? This is one of the biggest disappointing seasons I can remember because there was so much on the table here. People were talking when Devers going to the World Series. I was on a couple of weeks ago. I said, no way. Let's stop that talk. But playoffs, absolutely. You know, Bertrand was pitching pretty good at that point. Roop, obviously Webb. Webb is kind of falling back a little bit, although his last start was okay. And obviously Ray's been great. And I just suppose he's got to be saying, wow, what the heck happened? Because the offense needs so much work. There's too many strikeout guys. There really, really is. We don't have a 3. We don't have a leadoff. We've got a 5. Chapman's a 6. He's a 6 hitter. He's
yeah,
not
there,
a 4 hitter.
There's a lot of guys who I think are miscast in this lineup as in positions that they shouldn't be in. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Rich, but we are up against. We got to get to break. Thank you very much for your call. Always love it when we have you on the show. But yeah, to what he said about that Yankees-Marlins game last night, Evan, the entire new reliever core for the Yankees, Jake Bird, David Bednar, Camilo Doval, gave up, get this, 9 runs in the final 3 innings. 4 runs from Bird, 2 from Bednar, and then 3 from Camilo Doval. That is not how you want to roll out your trade deadline acquisition. So on the other side, where are the Giants going? And also, Bob Melvin, what do these next 2 months mean for him? We'll get into that, wrap up the show. And so more of that coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. All this brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
When you own your... What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.